Good morning and welcome to the 7 o'clock hour of Buyers and Company. This Thursday, Paul Osborne, City Hall Insider, joins us. Plus, we'll check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Buyers and Company starts now.
Buyers and Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Howdy do. Good morning and welcome as we wrap up this January. We'll wrap it up, what, midweek next week? When does February actually begin?
The week from...
Is it Wednesday?
Yes. Yes, next Wednesday is the 31st.
Oh, so next Thursday then.
Yes.
It's one of those months that goes on forever, doesn't it?
Yep.
And February is very short, but long in some ways, depending on the weather.
Right.
March can be very cruel. Mm-hmm. Can be great. Can be bad. Just depends on what Mother Nature does. We are heading to spring training that first week of March, courtesy of Jurger Pediatric Dentistry and JL Hubbard Insurance and Bonds. We're talking to all of our friends. I'm not sure if Dale Coley's going with us yet or not. We're working out all the details, but we'll be down there for I think the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of that first week of March. Broadcasting from Roger Dean Stadium there with the Cardinals. Should be that's always fun because you get down there and it's Florida and it's nice weather, but as Lindsay pointed out earlier, it's baseball.
Right.
You feel like there's hope in the air.
Yeah, definitely.
Like there's going to be a spring and eventually a summer. All right, City Hall Insider Paul Osborne, former mayor of Decatur, publisher of the Decatur Tribune, in studios here today. First visit back in a couple of weeks since we've been on vacation. It was very cold. We're getting into the 50s today. Not too bad. And the older I get, though, I just hate winter. I mean, aren't you just tired of it?
Yeah, I guess the bouncing around, you know, I have 60 degrees one day and 10 below the next. Your body's got
hard to keep track, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you with us. You know, we have a primary that is shaping up to be one of the strangest primaries that we've had in a very long time, meaning that there's a lot on the line, but not a lot of interest. Are you feeling similar to that?
Yeah.
I mean, we've got offices that haven't been up. I mean, you know. Brand new candidates, you know, people that are out there, new people, and it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of traction out there.
No, the excitement just isn't there, and you kind of keep waiting. And I don't know, maybe I'm getting older. I don't feel the momentum that you usually feel during an election and even during a primary. And as you indicated, there's a lot of new faces this time around, and some people are leaving office, retiring, and so the person elected will be the person getting that office other than an incumbent.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference.
You literally have Bill Mitchell stepping down after almost 20 years, right? I mean, there's three different Republican opponents that are going to be in this primary. And as you report in the Decatur Tribune today, the hard copy out today, you can also visit Decatur Tribune. .com if you'd like to look at it digitally. Dan Calkins running away with the money race here. I don't know what'll happen on election day, but he certainly seems to be winning the day when it comes to raising dollars.
Yeah, and I think the, what is it, the Liberty Principles PAC out of Chicago has been pouring, by the end of the year, they'd poured about $20,000.
That's Dan Prof's group,
yeah,
yes.
And it's a conservative group, mm-hmm. and I think probably, well, according to the figures, too, Dan would still lead in raising funds. But
even without that, yeah.
Yeah, even without that. But that money continues to be spent. I see Dan's commercials, and they're on social media, and everywhere you look, Dan is there giving his message. So he's not, at least in the past, hasn't been spending much personal money on that. A lot of that just at PAC money,
mm-hmm.
I think Dan and other candidates say, well, they're kind of doing this on their own. I'm not really a part of that, but still, he benefits from, you know, from that money. And it kind of makes an uneven playing field for the other two candidates.
Well, you know, you got to get out and raise it. I mean, this seems to be sort of a lost art. I know people bemoan the money in politics thing, and I hear you, but it is a reality. And I see people that get in these races, and I look at, you know, the three folks who are running for this specific seat, And that includes Randy Keith and Todd Hendricks, along with Dan Calkins. And it, to me, it doesn't look like the two of them have raised all that much.
Well, I think, yeah, you look at the latest report, which was filed, I think, last week, leading up to the end of the year, and certainly have to give Dan Calkins credit, apart from the PAC money. He has several business people, mm-hmm. Local community leaders that have donated substantial amounts to his campaign. I think, if I remember right, there are $4,000 or $5,000 contributions from local people. And then there were like $2,500, $500, quite a few, which totaled up. Actually, in the first quarter of his campaign, he raised more money from those donations than I think in the last quarter. So he has been out, and Dan told me he's been working hard at it, and I know that he has. But and I wonder, I haven't talked to Lisa about it. I wonder if this was what Lisa saw when she was going to run, and then she backed off. But, hey, there's going to be a lot of money coming into this race, and she knows or she knew then who that money was going to be coming to or going to, and it probably wasn't her.
Yeah, I look at that, and still not, I mean, it's not tons of money, but you look at Dan having, like, you know, over $21,000 to spend, and Randy Keith has $9,433, which $6,000 was a loan to himself, mm-hmm. And then you look at Todd Hendricks, you know, and the collections that he has been able to amass, and I know that not everyone really likes raising money, but, you know, he raised $13,000, spent $2,600. Whoever has the money has the advantage, right?
Well, yeah, and I think in today's market, you know, you have to get your name out there. I think Dan probably has the advantage, too, in being known in Decatur. And a good chunk of this runs down the west side of this district, runs side down the west side of Decatur. And he's known these business people for a long time, served on the city council when I was mayor there. So, Dan had pretty good name recognition going into this race, and I think the other two candidates, one basically in Cerro Gordo and one in Monticello in their offices there, just don't have the name recognition, which would make it even more important to get that message out to Decatur. And I think that one unknown here is, you know, what the other two candidates are doing on their own in the communities where they live and then the rural communities mm-hmm. that are in that district. That's kind of an unknown at this point. But they have a lot of work to do, I think, to make up the distance between what Dan has been doing and getting his name and already having pretty good name recognition in Decatur.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going to happen, you know, with this race, clearly. But we're not that far off.
No, and I think also the person that emerges in this primary, the Republican primary, conventional wisdom says they will go on and be the person elected because all the focus will be on them. That's basically a Republican district. Bill Mitchell's held that for years and years, and it's almost like Mike Madigan lets the Republicans have that.
Yeah, you know, but it does make you wonder, though, why they wouldn't take a stab at it, with Bill Mitchell resigning and there's, you know, no clear favorite and you got three, you know, that they wouldn't put some money behind someone to give it a shot one time anyway. Yet this Jennifer McMillan's raised $400.
Yeah, and it could be, too, that...
I mean, that doesn't seem like and with all due respect to her, I mean, that doesn't seem like a serious candidacy.
Well, and she has no opponent, though, in the primary. So
yeah,
maybe they're going to wait and see who wins the Republican primary, and then if they pour money, think there's a chance. After the primary, as you head for the general election, then she could receive a lot more. But you're right. At this point, she's got the primary won. She's the only one on the Democratic side running for
this. But she's got to get name recognition and ID, and, I mean, you can't wait around for November to do that.
Yeah, and I think a disadvantage to her, at least, I'll be talking to her, you know, one day in the future, is that she works out of town. She works, I think, in Bloomington or Normal, somewhere up in there, although she lives in the district. So she's not among people here all the time during the day, and that I think that's a disadvantage for her during this race, that you kind of have to be... Yeah, it's centrally located in the district where you're running, and it makes it more difficult for her to do interviews and that kind of thing here during the day. So That's not a slap against her. I'm just saying the reality of that campaign.
Of that is, it's a tough uphill. It's a Republican district. She's not raised a lot of money, and her vocation takes her out of town, so she spends less time around people that actually will be voting.
Yeah,
I mean,
that sums it up.
A fair assessment. All right, and then we've got the sheriff's race, which has been kind of quiet, too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think they're starting to get ready to hold.
And I get that you wanted to, like, sort of be quiet during the holidays. Nobody wanted their Thanksgiving and Christmas sort of interrupted. But I sort of felt like everybody hit the ground running in January, and I'm just not necessarily seeing that.
Yeah, you're right. I was a little surprised at that, and I don't know if it's just hard to gear up. Maybe the cold weather had something to do with that. I don't know, but it got really bad, and people were just huddling and staying indoors. But the sheriff's race is an interesting one in that, you look at this and you basically have two candidates. In the Republican?
Or in the Democrat?
Democrats. Yes. Yeah. And so when you one Democrat, one of them, but still you're going to have a.
You got Jonathan Butts, and you got Tony Brown on the Democrat side, and then you got Jim Root on the Republican side. So Jim's going to be taking on whoever wins in the primary. But it's weird because you've got three long-term employees. I mean, all three of them have been around for a long time.
Well, that's what makes it difficult, I think, in their campaigning, too. It's not like they're campaigning against someone who doesn't know the office.
Yeah.
I mean, your opponents know the office.
Right.
I think particularly in the primary. And you get to the primary, then you're going to face a Republican who also knows the office because they work there, too. So I think that's kind of the interesting. How do you campaign against someone who's worked there just like you have?
Yeah.
You can't really, in many ways.
How do you differentiate yourself?
Yeah, do you tout your experience?
Yeah.
Well, they have experience in the office, too. So, so the Democratic primary on that, you really haven't heard. And maybe it's because, there's no negative advertising involved.
And that's great. We had a meeting, right before we left for Hawaii with all the local candidates, the Newhoff Media did, just to let them know what we had, for them, platforms and social media and digital and terrestrial advertising. And I know that, Dan was there and Todd Hendricks was there. Representatives from all of the campaigns were there, if not the candidates themselves. And so I know people are planning on doing this stuff. I just thought it might be like a new year. Everybody would sort of maybe be a little quicker to the draw on this stuff. But here we are. And it's, January 25th, and we're a little over a month away from the primary, and it's pretty quiet.
Yeah, well, it's actually, was it March 20th, the primary? So it's two months.
Is it the 20th? So it is closer to 2 months.
Yeah, but still, 2 months out, particularly when you have some hot competition in those primaries, you would think you'd be more going on.
Yeah, people always wait, too, and I've never really understood this philosophy. I think the first ones to get out always have the advantage, because whether you're the first to announce, if you're the first to announce, then every other story that gets done about anybody else that announces mentions you were the first to announce. And I think it's sort of the same way in advertising and getting your name out there, too, right? I mean, I know some people want to wait and then blitz it at the end, but I think the earlier you get out there, you start making some impact.
Yeah, and you'd think so. And I don't know if it's just the attitude of people so tired
of politics.
Yeah. And I think that probably plays into it a little bit. And I certainly find myself maybe wanting to wait a little closer to the primary before talking again to, and for the first time, to some of these people. It's like if you talk 2 or 3 months out, and we're a weekly paper, and you put that in, the impact is pretty much lost by, primary election day. But I'm with you. This is kind of a strange one. It is, considering the fact it's not business as usual. You have challengers, and a challenger to the office is challenging another challenger.
And I also think that these local politicians need to understand that, yes, people are largely tired of politics. That doesn't mean they feel that way about the sheriff's office or the county clerk. Local politics, I think sometimes they get a little gun-shy because they realize people are fed up with Springfield and Washington. I don't know that translates to who we want to be sheriff.
Yeah, that's a different case. You're talking about, to me, apples and oranges.
I think so, too. And I think maybe they're a little cautious about people being so tired of politics that they're maybe overly cautious. I think people want to know, you guys have all three worked there for a long time, but I want to know. I know Tony the best just because I go all the way back to high school with the guy. Mm-hmm. But you've got Jim and you've got Jonathan. Who are you? I mean, you got to get out there a little bit and sell yourself.
Yeah, and I think it's been difficult, too, this this time of year with the weather that we've had. I know.
True. You're not going to like knocking on doors.
Yeah. It's just like people don't even open the door, let alone, right. You know, talk to a candidate. Although they may give that candidate high marks for being out in sub-zero weather, you know, campaigning. But I think that's played into it. But I just find people are tired. They're tired of voting. They're tired of hearing from candidates. And maybe the candidates have sensed this, as you indicated, because of the interest is kind of at a low ebb. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be for what we're voting for in Decatur and in the district and Macon County. Steve Bean's retiring.
Yeah.
A replacement there.
I mean, there's a lot of offices that have been held for a long time by candidates that are going to be up for grabs now.
Yeah, there'll be a new face in several of these.
It's
offices.
Hard for me to imagine. I mean, Steve Bean's been doing this ever since I've been doing this show.
Yeah, he's been
it's
there
21
long,
years.
Yeah, a long time. And so I guess that's what you hate to see Steve go, but by the same token, it opens the door for, you know, someone new to be in that office. So that's exciting. Bill Mitchell, you know, retiring, that opens that up. That's why we have the Republicans, you know, three Republicans running for that seat. So you start looking around, Ed Yoder is being challenged. There are people involved in here that have not been involved in campaigns before.
Not to mention statewide races. I mean, you've got now a Republican challenger to Governor Bruce Rauner. You got like 100 people running for Attorney General. I you got a bunch of Democrats on the governor's
Quinn.
Side. You got Pat Quinn back in, you know, politics here. So, but yet I know there's been some forums, and I think they did a debate with the Democratic candidates for the gubernatorial position. But man, I'm not day in, day out having these conversations with people.
No, and I don't know about you, but it seems like every other email I receive is from a candidate.
Yes.
One of these Attorney General candidates.
Well, something. You know what's crazy about that is it all goes to my clutter now, which is the only, I hate clutter because it's not like having, you know, three different mailboxes you have to check. But I notice that all of the political stuff ends up there. So Microsoft is deeming it unworthy for me to see.
Well,
and maybe they know something.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Some people probably agree with that assessment.
Yeah, I would think so. All right, Paul Osborne in the studios. Don't go anywhere. Here's Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Sunny skies, highs near 51 degrees. Then for tonight, mostly clear, lows around 35. For your Friday, mostly sunny, highs near 54. And Saturday, sunshine, highs near 52. It is 29 degrees in downtown Decatur.
I'm Jen Wood from Maroa Lumber Company. At Maroa Lumber, we carry more than just top quality grade lumber. We feature high performing brands like Anderson, Wadena, CHI, and Milwaukee. We also carry composite decking, molding, and trim, siding materials, garage doors, Pratt & Lambert paint, and so much more. At Maroa Lumber, we offer free estimates and takeoffs on any job. Whether it's a small project or building your dream home, Maroa Lumber has the knowledgeable staff to get the job done. Visit us at MaroaLumber.com or give us a call, 794-2226.
Don't miss the Newhoff Media Wedding Extravaganza on Saturday, January 27th from 11 to 3 at the Mount Zion Convention Center. It will be a full day for all bride-to-bees and her groom. The Newhoff Wedding Extravaganza is offering selections for catering, DJ services, rental, hair, and more. Plus, register to win a honeymoon in Vegas or Niagara Falls. It's the Newhoff Media Wedding Extravaganza, Saturday, January 27th at the Mount Zion Convention Center.
Short days and cold temps got you down?
It's hot, Bob!
Jeep days are on at Bob Brady Jeep in Decatur. Don't sit around waiting for a warm-up. Get to Bob Brady Jeep now and feel the heat during Jeep days.
Owner loyalty incentives, huge cash back offers, and great financing.
Laugh at the snow and cold in a new 2018 Cherokee Latitude. If you or anyone in the family has a Jeep, you qualify for owner loyalty incentives. That means up to $4,500 cash back on a 2018 Cherokee Latitude. Or just announced you could choose 0% financing for 60 months, plus up to $1,000 cash back. Have a hot time in a new 2017 Renegade. The Renegade Latitude comes with up to $6,000 cash back during Jeep Days at Bob Brady Jeep.
This isn't some wimpy little space heater. This is Bob Brady Jeep.
It's hot, Bob!
Feel the heat now. Jeep Days are on with huge cash back and owner loyalty incentives. Bob Brady Jeep, I-72 at exit 144, Decatur.
Cashback amounts include all available incentives, financing with approved credit. See Bob Brady Jeep for lease and discount details.
This is Byers & Company on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
You see it all around you. Good loving gone bad.
Back air on a Thursday. Was that the mouse's fault?
No.
All right. By the way, 38 special. I was looking at a story today that the Southern rock band Lynyrd Skynyrd is going to kick off their final tour on May 4th in West Palm Beach, Florida, more than 40 years after their debut album was released. I had no idea Lynyrd Skynyrd was still around. Did you know they were still actually, like, touring?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, you say that like it's a given. I don't know. They're going to be there with Kid Rock, Hank Williams Jr., Bad Company, the Marshall Tucker Band, and 38 Special, which you just heard.
There's a lineup.
Coming out of the other side of the break. Just throwing that out there for whatever it's worth.
There's a Southern rock party.
All right. Do you think, Paul Osborne, City Hall insider, former mayor of Decatur, publisher of the Tribune, that there is a lack of political skill, a skill set that maybe isn't around the way it used to be around with these politicians or people who are running for office? I don't necessarily see them at everything, turn around and bump. I think about the way Bob Flyter was, or the way Julie Curry was, or the way Dwayne Noland was, or Frank Watson. It seems like today's candidates don't maybe have that same approach.
I would agree with you, and I wonder at times, I don't know if it's just me, if I expect too much, but I don't think so. I think this is serious business. I mean, you're making a major commitment when you run for an office, and it's a major commitment of time and energy and whatever finances. It takes a lot to win. It does. And I don't necessarily blame the candidates. I think too many times there are people advising them or telling them to do things or not do things. Don't go here, go there. Right. And it gets mired down in that. And I think back when I ran for mayor, I ran every day like I was way behind. And I'd go everywhere. I remember speaking to a group where I didn't realize it at the time. They were just like regular diners in one side of the room.
Right.
And then the people that invited me.
Yeah.
And I got more attention out of the regular diners than right. I did the people. I mean, I'd go everywhere. And someone said, I'd go to an autopsy if they invited me, if I'm a candidate. But I think, you devote yourself to getting to know the people and letting them get to know you.
Yeah. Lindsay, do you see a different, it just seems like a different, like the up and coming folks now just maybe don't follow that same philosophy.
Yeah, it does seem that way. They'll talk about how they want to get out and reach people and get to know people. But I don't really, there was a time, and you still see this occasionally with some candidates, but we're at a lot of events. And I'm surprised that I don't see.
That's what I mean. I mean, it's like the guy who is running against Sue Scheer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know November's a long way off, but we heard from him around the food drive, right? That was October. We haven't heard anything since January.
No. Dan Calkins.
Dan's been pretty aggressive.
And Josh Tanner, who's running for like the.
For Steve Bean's
seat.
Yeah.
I see him at a lot of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you used to sort of, that was just the standard sort of operating procedure.
Yeah, you go there and you see all
the particularly
candidates.
If you weren't really well known. I remember when Dwayne Noland brought Frank Watson in, and Frank started showing up at everything because he wasn't from here. He was from Greenup. But he knew that you had to, and I think maybe some of these 101st candidates, are well known where they're from, but I don't know that they really have made that dent here in Macon County. We'll see, I guess, obviously, as the primary approaches. We got to take a break for the news. We get back here, Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports in our final half hour with the City Hall insider, Paul Osborne, former mayor of Decatur, publisher of the Decatur Tribune. Here is Jeff Daly. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
WSOY News Time 729. Caterpillar has released their earnings report for the fourth quarter of 2017 and full year earnings results for 2017 as well. Sales and revenues in the fourth quarter were $12.9 billion compared with $9.6 billion in the fourth quarter of 16. Loss in the fourth quarter of 17 was $2.18 per share compared with $2 per share in 2016. Meanwhile, full year sales and revenues in 17 came in at $45.5 billion. That's up about 18% from $38.5 in 2016. Profits for 17 at $1.26 per share compared with an 11 cent loss per share in 2016. In a release statement, Caterpillar CEO Jim Umpleby says after four challenging years with many key markets improved in 2017 and our global team delivered strong results, Umpleby says they remain focused on operational excellence and made early investments in profitable growth initiatives as they began to implement their new strategy. More news after Fox at 7:30.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster.
President Trump says he's more than willing to speak under oath to Robert Mueller, the special counsel investigating Russian election meddling.
I would love to do it.
The president maintained he's done nothing wrong.
No collusion. I couldn't have cared less about Russians having to do with my campaign.
The president's lawyers have reportedly been negotiating with the special counsel's office about the possible interview. It's widely believed Mueller wants to ask President Trump about the firing of James Comey as head of the FBI.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. The president's in Davos, Switzerland for the World Economic Forum.
On the agenda, a couple of bilateral meetings, one with Theresa May, the prime minister of the UK, as well as Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. And President Trump has come here with a message that the U.S. is open for business.
Fox's John Roberts in Davos. The only other sitting U.S. president to have attended this meeting was Bill Clinton in 2000. President Trump gives a speech tomorrow. Fox News. We report. You decide.
WSOY News Time, 7:31. Officials say preliminary test results show the possible presence of Legionella bacteria at the Illinois Capitol Complex's hot water system. Officials said this week they're not aware of any reports of Legionnaires' disease related to the water system. Experts at the Illinois Department of Public Health say the complex is safe for state employees to work. The Secretary of State's office, which oversees the complex, ordered the test after a pipe burst in the nearby Illinois State Armory. More test results are expected in about 14 days. Legionnaires is a severe form of pneumonia caused by waterborne bacteria. The announcement comes as Illinois lawmakers prepare to meet again next month for a bipartisan hearing about the deadly Legionnaires disease outbreak at a Western Illinois veterans home. In sports, Fighting Illini over Indiana 73-71 last night, and they've announced the Hall of Fame class for this year's Baseball Hall of Fame induction. Third baseman Chipper Jones, first baseman Jim Thome, outfielder Vladimir Guerrero, and closer Trevor Hoffman have all been elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. They'll be inducted July 29th. Your next news update comes your way at the top of the hour. Breaking news when it happens. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY newsroom for Neuhoff Media, media made locally.
The Community Foundation of Macon County. Maybe you've heard of it, but do you know what the foundation does? I'm Ouija Stewart, president of the Community Foundation of Macon County. Primarily, the foundation is a donor-centered charity. We like to say we work the supply side of charitable impact. We work with donors to establish individual funds in their names that can benefit a cause, a favorite organization, or provide a scholarship. It's sort of like having your own foundation without all the paperwork. We also serve as the administrator of the funds for the donor. We invest the assets, we consider the donor's advice in grant making, and we work with local nonprofits that benefit from our donor's generosity. The advantages to the donors are many. Along with reducing paperwork, we keep track of the donations and grants and send quarterly reports on the fund's activity. If you would like more information on setting up a fund with the Community Foundation of Macon County, please call us at 429-3000. We make philanthropy easy.
Here is Lindsay Romano with a rather pleasant couple of days anyway in this three-day forecast.
Warmer temperatures, sunny skies today, highs near 51 degrees. Then for tonight, mostly clear, lows around 35. Friday, mostly sunny, highs near 54. And Saturday, sunshine, highs near 52. Right now in downtown Decatur, it's 29 degrees.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM. And 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back with the City Hall Insider in just a couple of minutes. Right now it's time for Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Mark is the executive sports editor of the Herald and Review. All right, let's start with the Illini.
Well, finally, somehow, some way, Illinois' Big Ten basketball losing streak is over. Illinois beat Indiana last night at the State Farm Center, and maybe not surprisingly from a team that had been 0-8 in conference play and had lost three times in overtime and another time on a last-second three-pointer. Figuring out exactly how to pull this one over the finish line was not easy, not pretty, and not without issues. But as assistant coach Jamal Walker told me as we walked off the floor last night, I'm not giving it back. And Illinois trailed by six at halftime. It could have been a lot more. They led by eight with a minute to go, and they still had to kind of sweat bullets to hang on. Indiana had a chance to tie in the final seconds, tried to go inside to Juwan Morgan, who had been their go-to guy all night, but the entry pass was low and difficult and kind of at his feet, and it bounced away for Indiana's 18th turnover, and Illinois survived. Trent Frazier was celebrating on the one hand and in tears on the other, because celebrating because Illinois won, and but he had a really rough final minute or two with a missed shot and a turnover and a foul and two missed free throws, but he also scored 19 points and really kept Illinois in it in the first half. LaRon Black also scored 19 last night, and for the second straight game, Kipper Nichols came up big, especially in the second half when they needed help. Illinois made just one basket in the final almost 11 minutes, and that was by Kipper Nichols, a three-pointer, and still managed to win the game. And they won because they were the aggressors in the second half and got to the free throw line a bunch. And they won because Indiana was awful at the free throw line last night. They missed 13 free throws. If Indiana makes its free throws, they win the game. But you know what? That's their problem. Illinois will take this and try to make it two in a row on Tuesday night when they host Rutgers. That's a 6 o'clock game. Good crowd at the State Farm Center last night. Always happy to beat Indiana. I think this one probably a little more than usual given the recent circumstances.
All right. On the other side of the break, we'll take a look at that unbelievable story coming out of Michigan State yesterday in a preview of tonight's Sport Talk with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. It's brought to you by Save More Pharmacy in Mount Zion.
It's the perfect time of the year to make some new changes. Save More Pharmacy would like to be the pharmacy of your choice. The professional pharmacists are able to answer your prescription questions, offer advice about over-the-counter medications, and provide guidance on any newly prescribed medications. Save More Pharmacy provides free prescription delivery to your home or office now within the entire Macon County area. For prescription refills, simply download the mobile app. So quick and easy to do. Save More Pharmacy in Mount Zion. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 7. Saturday, 8 to 5.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, Michigan State.
Isn't this thing awful?
Yeah.
This hideous case of sexual abuse of women's gymnasts reached another emotional moment yesterday when Larry Nassar, who is the doctor for both USA Gymnastics and Michigan State University, was sentenced up to 175 years in prison for his actions, in which more than 150 people read impact statements detailing this man's unimaginable breach of trust. This past week, these victims stood in line to just, you know, finally get to dance on this man's grave and see him face to face. And when the sentencing finally happened, the judge was so furious and disgusted with him that she delivered the sentence with unapologetic enthusiasm. In fact, she said, "It is an honor and a privilege to sentence you." This case has emerged as maybe an even worse version of the Jerry Sandusky case at Penn State because of the number of victims. That one, of course, was a former Penn State assistant football coach to use his position and his trust that came with it to abuse young boys. It resulted in the end of legendary coach Joe Paterno, university resignations, prison sentences, civil lawsuits, and, of course, a long list of victims. This one is going the same direction with the Michigan State president forced to resign, others perhaps to follow, because too many people did too little to stop this. When there were signs that this was going on, and you would think that after the Sandusky case, the first time someone raised a concern, people would rush to say, let's get an investigation going, let's find out what's going on, let's make sure none of these other girls or young women are abused, and that didn't happen. The university will face lawsuits in the months to come, I am sure. The United States Olympic Committee has called for the resignation of all USA gymnastics officials because of the evidence that people knew this was going on for some time. And it was awful. It was hard to even read about it during the last week or two, and we're not done reading about it. It's pretty shameful. I think we'll have an opportunity to talk about it a little bit tonight on Sport Talk from 5 to 7. Tim and I will be in the studio. We'll certainly talk a little bit of pre-Super Bowl stuff, and some baseball. The Hall of Fame elected four yesterday, and spring training right around the corner.
Yeah, I was looking at that picture of Jim Thome. Man, how old does he look? It seems like it wasn't that long ago.
And he was playing just a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was amazing to me. All right, we'll look forward to it at 5 o'clock tonight. Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. He'll be in with Tim Kaine. Time now for the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee, locally indicated for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discernible coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Central Illinois weather has been a roller coaster. Wake up with News Channel 20 meteorologist Joe Crane and be prepared for Mother Nature's ups and downs. Get your first forecast of the day tomorrow on News Channel 20 Sunrise, starting at 5 a.m. Before the first snowflake falls, Storm Team 20 is tracking winter weather from across the country to here at home. We have the most advanced technology and the most experienced meteorologist in the area. This winter, trust Storm Team 20. We're always working for you.
Busey is honored to serve our vibrant communities for 150 years. We are grateful for our dedicated associates, customer relationships that span generations, and thriving communities, the places we're proud to call home. Join the celebration. Visit Busey.com/150 for details. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868. Member FDIC.
Looking for a new TV? Liaison has the same high-end products you'll find at the big box stores at comparable prices. Watch the big game or the Winter Olympics on a high-resolution 4K TV from Liaison. Liaison has 4K TVs from brands like Sony, Sharp, Samsung, and LG. Plus, Liaison can design and install your home theater system. Liaison, 288 Park Street in downtown Decatur, across from the post office, and at liaisonhomes.com. Liaison, connecting you to all things home.
You're listening to Byers and Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Thursday. That means the City Hall insider, Paul Osborne, in studios. Next hour, we will check in with John Decker live from the White House. Tanya Powers will join us to talk about that Dr. Nasser and that Michigan State thing. You know, part of me, when these stories break, you often wonder, does the president need to fall? I mean, there's such an outrage that happens that's absolutely understandable and probably necessary, with all these victims, can we not just hold the people accountable that did something? But then the more and more you find out, man, I can't believe in the year of 2018 that these people still drag their feet on this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, she needed to go.
Yeah. And I think that's, if you're the president of a university that just, when you actually received information and did not do anything about it, what's the old saying that Truman had? The buck stops here.
Yeah.
The buck stops with her.
Yeah. And sometimes I think that the fury of all that can take down people that really didn't have anything to do with it, are not complicit or guilty. But the more you read about this and the former Michigan State gymnastics coach who had to resign after she was suspended for defending this guy and USA Gymnastics and everything else, and he was investigated in 2014 and the campus police were investigating, yet they still let him see. I mean, this is just all kinds of wrong.
Yeah, and I think still in this day and age, people are like, well, the guy's a doctor. it's just like doctors do things, Yeah. But I think it was hard for them to believe that. But I think in this day and age, with what we're learning and finding out, you should really be more aware. And I think as Mark Tupper mentioned, after the experience at Penn State, it looks like that should have been a warning sign to
I would think
pay
so.
Attention.
Yeah, so everybody's got to go. And her letter yesterday seemed to be, although she apologized again to the victims in the first paragraph, it also seemed to be kind of, I don't know, the letter said a lot about her personality.
Yeah, and there was no choice. She had to go. Mm-hmm. And you try to go in a case like that, I would assume, as gracefully as you can. And yet, you got to have hard feelings about this, and you won't accept any blame, basically, is what you're saying. I accept blame, but really I don't.
I wonder about these universities. I really do. She made $860,000 last year. Hmm. This is a state college.
Yeah.
And we want to know why kids can't afford to go to college or why they're struggling with student debt, coming out of the other side of their four-year experience. I mean, what in the world? $860,000 to be the president of a university? That seems, I don't know. I mean, we get outraged all the time about the haves and the have-nots, and politicians have been using this forever to, like, separate and divide us. Why is a state college president making that much money?
I don't know.
Maybe they raise a lot. I don't know. Maybe it's
came from private funding or something. I don't know. But state college, you would think that.
I mean, I would imagine the president of the U of I makes, you know, something similar, right? Yeah. She turned down a $150,000 raise in December and donated it to, like, the victims' cause, which was probably too little too late for her to save her job. But anyway, she's gone. This doctor's getting, you know, what did he get, 40 to 175 years in prison. So good for him. You know, that's all that happened.
Yeah, I've never seen a judge so irate.
Delightful about being able to hand out a 175-year jail sentence.
Yeah, to say, I'm honored. I'm honored to put you behind bars the rest of your life.
Yep, no doubt about it. Ugly story. All right, so we talked a lot about money raising and whether or not they're getting out there and whether or not I feel some culpability in that too, because I feel like I send the message like I don't want to talk to you, you know, a little bit, because we're also tired of politics.
Yeah.
Do you have any sense about how you think any of these races are going to turn out?
No, not I think you look around and Calkins definitely has
an advantage
at this point. I don't know.
That doesn't mean he wins, but I think clearly if you're handicapping this just from money, name recognition, awareness, what he seems to be doing, he would have the advantage going in.
Yeah, and it seems to me he has the blessing, obviously, of, the governor. I mean, that's basically, there's ties and connections there, and Dan's been active in working for.
Yeah, well, this Liberty Principles Political Action Committee, you know, picked him out. It wasn't like, I mean, yes, they didn't pick the other two.
Yeah, and to me, that's shows a close connection, because that PAC.
Well, he worked hard for the governor's campaign.
Yeah, he did. So I guess it's payback time.
Yeah.
Or you can also say the governor knows him.
Yeah.
He knows the work he's done. So where will that money go? Where does he want that money to go? To someone who supported him all along and helped him. So,
that's the way it works.
Yeah, it's understandable.
Like it or not, yeah.
Yeah.
And then for the sheriff's race, I really feel like in my mind, I think Tony has the advantage. But I don't know if that's just because of my world that I'm in. But I don't know if that's representative of everybody else.
I don't know. In the fundraising, Tony's done a better job heading towards the primary.
But Tony was one of those guys that was always out there.
Yeah.
I mean, he was planning on running for this office way before any of these other guys got in. And even before he was doing that, he was a guy who showed up at everything.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere you would go, you know, he would be there.
Yeah, and we've had sheriffs like that, and I'm thinking of Roger Walker. I saw him in filling stations and everywhere else, talking to people, and it's always, he's been a member of the community and that. Some of the other
and it's hard to make that up in a short period of time.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you run for something like that, it's based on a lot of years of your history.
Right.
Not just this point in time.
Or 6 or 8 weeks, yes.
Yeah, so I think the Democratic primary, as you mentioned earlier, it's interesting. Tony, what, you went to school with
him? Oh, yeah, we go 30 years.
So that has to kind of shade your view of this.
I fully admit that.
Yeah.
But I also, I'm just telling you that the number of times I run into Tony at non-sheriff-related events versus the time I run into Jonathan Butts, it's not even close.
Yeah.
And I think of years and years of doing that, you have sort of a built-in advantage.
Well, I think when you have three candidates, two in the Democratic primary, but you're still going to have two people who work there facing off against each other.
And I like Jim, too.
Yeah.
This isn't a case of, like, I have an affinity for Tony. Just I've known him forever. He serves on my United Way board. We have a friendship. But that doesn't mean I dislike the other guys. I think he's been in the community so much. The community knows him. I mean, even his nickname, Chubby. I mean, you know how many people, I mean, and I never call him Chubby, but I mean, the staggering number of people that I hear saying Chubby, for a law enforcement guy, I think that's been invaluable for the Macon County Sheriff's Office, because for far too often, police, we haven't had like neighborhood police. We haven't had, I think he's been a tremendous asset for the Sheriff's Department in that regard alone, just that people in the community know him.
And I think that probably the other two candidates have other stories of people they've met. And so,
absolutely.
And you're probably more aware of this because of what you just said. But I think a lot of that will determine who the next sheriff is. I think these.
I think
these
people for sheriff, right? I really do believe this. I don't think it's an R or a D thing, right? Mm-hmm. I know I have voted for both, for sheriff. It's who you like.
Yeah. I honestly, when I vote, I never think for sheriff. I never think about R or D, and usually it's the case about everything.
But I don't think that people do, even ones that are diehard, maybe for the 101st or something else. I think when it comes to these county offices, replacing Steve Bean, replacing Tom Schneider, whatever it might be, I think people think, do I know this human being and like them first more than it is party politics?
Yeah, I never thought any differently of any sheriff who served because they were Democrat. I never even thought about that aspect of it, and I even have trouble still sorting out the candidates for sheriff, whether they're Democrat or Republican, because I guess I don't base my voter view on that.
No, I don't either, and I don't think most people do.
And you shouldn't. I mean, you really shouldn't. The sheriff's office is an extremely important office, and it should be about the person and that person's ability to lead that office and protect the citizens, and the citizens having confidence in that person to do the job.
No doubt about
it. It's not D or R.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And so we'll see what happens after this primary and then what happens in the general election. Now, we've got a lot of new faces. You mentioned Mr. Tanner, who's been out there a lot, but you got new faces in this office, too. Steve Bean's had this office for so long. I mean, it's just it's hard to think about him not being there.
Yeah, you're probably going to say County Clerk Steve Bean long after he leaves, just you're used to saying that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he has, and he's done a great job. He really has. He's worked so much, basically what you'd say, on his own time to make that office and open on Saturdays. I mean, he's really been a great public servant.
Guy stood out in a Star Trek uniform, served pork one day on Election Day with us years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
full Star Trek uniform.
Yep.
From the new, well, not the new, but the old, but the new series.
He's a Star Trek
aficionado.
Star Trek fan.
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably the better word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and it's difficult even to see someone stepping into that office and referring someone as Macon County Clerk, whatever that person is.
And the crazy thing about that office is, like, we've only had three clerks like the last 80 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And just like each one in that office served a long,
long,
long time.
Long time.
Yeah, and Steve, what, 20 years?
At least.
Yeah, and we mentioned Bill Miller. That's 20 years there.
Uh-huh.
And he promised he would step aside at 10, but I guess
was it 10 or 8? I couldn't remember. Yeah, he term limited himself.
I will step aside and let someone new come in.
He's never going to live that down.
He got older and he didn't step quite as fast.
He's
I guess.
Never going to live that down.
So, but yeah, as we started this conversation, this should be create a lot of excitement because you're going to have new people running. You're going to have new people serving. Why shouldn't we be really excited and the public be really excited? I haven't seen that yet.
No, I haven't either. But you got to get out and start inspiring people if you're out there running for office. Just my advice. And start bugging us now. I mean, because I'm dreading doing all these interviews. I am. I'm tired of politics. But the local stuff matters. And who represents you in the sheriff's office or the county clerk or even the 101st, it matters.
Yeah.
Those are people you can still get a hold of and talk to.
Well, I think that's an important point. The people that you vote for here are people that you see on the street, you see in the supermarket or whatever, and they have a direct impact on your life.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take one last break. Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Sunny skies, highs near 51 degrees. Tonight, clear, lows around 35. For your Friday, mostly sunny, highs near 54. And Saturday, mostly sunny, highs near 52. Right now in downtown Decatur, it's 29 degrees.
HSHS St. Mary's Hospital offers the most maternity options for your most important delivery. Just as you may be expanding your family, we are expanding the services we offer to provide you with the most comprehensive care options for your newborn. We hope you'll celebrate your newborn's first day with us. We're committed to taking care of your whole family for life. Learn more at stmarysdecatur.com/maternity.
I went online to find just the right washer and dryer. First, I needed a huge capacity. Then, I wanted a super long service protection plan and a company that would really stand behind their product. Thirdly, I had to have a reversible door on the washing machine. And I really liked that titanium color. Once I knew what I wanted, I looked for the best deal. All these things came together at one place. Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. And they were on sale for $300 off. Plus, I got that great Dick Van Dyke 10-year protection plan, and it was free. Boy,
do I love my new Electrolux laundry set. Wow!
I'm Dennis Reagan, president of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This could be your true story in Decatur during January. And yes, we are open during our store remodeling. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Now, Jackson Ford Decatur is your automotive authority. We have Dave Frent, fleet manager for Jackson Ford. Dave, what type of businesses can benefit from fleet vehicles?
A lot of different entities can benefit from the fleet vehicles. Government, city, contractors are some of our best partners to service their fleet vehicle.
Well, what types of vehicles are most commonly used as fleet vehicles?
Escapes and Explorers are very good choices, and Ford is the number one utility truck. We have half tons up to 550 series for heavy-duty use. And, of course, the Ford F-150 is always a great choice. There are so many options for your needs. We have crew cab, four-door, extended cab, regular cab. All are very good for fleet needs.
And what about service?
Jackson Ford has a state-of-the-art service center, and we take great pride in offering the best of service to your vehicle.
Well, shop JacksonCars.com and choose from over 600 cars and trucks. And that's why Jackson Ford and Decatur is your automotive authority.
Jackson Ford and Decatur, everything you're looking for.
In Decatur and at JacksonCars.com.
This is Byers and Company on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Not everyone knows Paul was one of the original members of LaBelle. Paul and Patty.
I started with Paul and Paula, group.
There you go. Back in the... That would be the 1970s. Hey, good morning and welcome. City Hall Insider Paul Osborne in the studios with us here today. As we get closer to the election, we'll have all of these candidates. And in fact, we probably need to go ahead and start setting up all those interviews. You got a primary for Steve Bean's seat. You got a primary for the sheriff's office. You got a primary for the 101st. Is there any other primary seats? I mean, obviously, you got the statewide stuff with the governor and attorney general. And all of that, but I'm thinking about locally here. Those are the three big ones, right?
Yeah.
As far as primaries are concerned, I think that's it.
I was thinking of another one, but I don't know. There's so many.
Yeah, I do believe that is it.
I mean, as far as having
the big ones,
more than one to vote for in the primary. Mm-hmm. Now, the rest, like the Democrat side of the 101st, the Republican side of the sheriff's office, all that will wait until November.
Yeah, right.
But you have those three local offices that are going to be decided, and all brand new people, right? I mean, you've got Sheriff Schneider retiring. You've got Sheriff Buffett now, doing the job he's doing down there. Whoever wins this race in November is going to inherit a much better sheriff's office than has ever been because of the money that's being spent and invested in. And just private, the community is unbelievably blessed to have that happening.
Oh, that's for sure. And that, to a certain extent, probably has impacted on the sheriff's race. I mean, he's done so many fantastic things. A lot of the attention's focused
on the jail and everything else. I mean, there's just stuff that was not necessarily neglected, but just there wasn't money to pay for it. And he has just stepped up and stepped up and stepped up. And so whoever comes out of the other side of this election process is going to inherit a better sheriff's office for the community. And so
for sure,
no doubt about it. And then the 101st, as we said, Mitchell stepping down after almost 20 years. You're going to have a new face there, one way or the other, and there's some important races. So we'll get these folks in. We'll have forums. We'll have podcasts. We'll have as much information as you can possibly use to make a decision. When it's time to get out there and vote. Paul, as always, great to see you.
Same here.
Hour flies by, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. All right, we're gonna take a break for the news. Back with more after this. Don't go anywhere.